Rubio to inbound. Gets it out to Booker. Booker left of the lane area to Šarić. Three-pointer on the way. Shazam!
Of course it is.
His second trio.
Yeah, it was that kind of day for the Phoenix Suns. They had to grind this one out against Philly. Hardcore grind this one out against the Philadelphia 76ers.
The G League team that showed up for the 76ers and took the Suns to the fourth quarter and battled. And that's what you get. I mean, you just their inability to put some of these teams away is surprising to me. But there's not a lot to complain about. They're 7-0. They find a way to win. They had to work for it. Like, it would have been nice if you just put these teams away. They're not, you know, they're playing. They're not, no starters were playing.
Yeah.
Embiid was out. Ben Simmons was out. Tobias Harris was out. Al Horford was out.
Richardson
was out. They didn't play anybody. And yet they were taking it to the Suns early, and it ended up being a really close basketball game. In the end, the Suns were able to pull away like midway through that fourth quarter and come away with the win.
Yeah, Suns 130-117. They get the win over Philly, and it was nip and tuck until about 6 minutes, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then slowly they started pulling away. Devin Booker, and interesting that it was just announced today that the NBA is not only going to have an all-bubble team, but they're actually going to have a bubble MVP. And they're gonna award that at the end of these seeding games. So I guess not a bubble MVP, but a seeding MVP and an all seeding game team. Surely Booker's gonna be on the team.
Could he be the MVP?
Could he be the MVP?
Yeah, I mean, why not? They go 8-0. I mean, I think he led his team to an 8-0 record. He's getting 35 every night. I mean, I think right now I'd have to look at it. I'd have to see what Luka's doing because he's had some unbelievable games.
He's not having a very good game today for Dallas, I can tell
you.
Yeah,
and maybe that's what it takes.
A second ago.
Yeah, I would think, you know, you lead a team to a 7-0 record. We'll see what happens in the last game. But, yeah, you've got a good chance to win that MVP.
Here's Devin Booker on looking forward to the magnitude of Thursday's game, and we'll explain the situation right after this soundbite.
Excited. These are the games, and I'll be waiting to play it. I know it's a different format than what it'd be usually, but you know, we can feel the energy, we can feel, you know, the hype of the game, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so here's the situation. Let's run through this. Phoenix Suns are 7-0. Here's the help they continue to need, and the game's going on right now. Portland is beating Dallas 79-72 with 6 minutes and 49 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Let's say that score holds. Portland wins.
Okay.
Then the Suns will play the Mavericks, and they will play a Mavericks team that really has no ability to move anywhere, so they probably won't play a lot of their key guys. There's no reason for Carlisle to play those guys. There's just not. You would need to beat a Dallas team that's unmotivated because they've got nothing on the line. But then you would need either Memphis or Portland to lose.
Yes.
You cannot afford for – you need either – they can – both teams win, you're done. You don't control your own destiny. Memphis and Portland controls their destiny. So if Portland wins this game right now, you go into the final game of the season needing a couple things to happen. You have to win – and then you need either Memphis or Portland to lose.
Memphis lost earlier today to Boston 122-107. So to your point, yes, you're one more Memphis loss away from being able to catch them. Memphis can't win their game against Milwaukee on Thursday. Otherwise, the Suns can't catch them.
No.
If Memphis wins that game. So to catch Memphis, they need to lose against Milwaukee. Suns need to beat Dallas. To catch Portland, Portland needs to lose one of these two games, either today against Dallas or Thursday against Brooklyn, and the Suns need to win. If neither of those things happen, right, if Portland doesn't lose at least a game, or if Memphis doesn't lose Thursday against Milwaukee,
it's over.
It's over. Suns, yep. Suns, it's done. They're not. There's going to be no play-in game for the Phoenix Suns. Even if they go 8-0, it won't matter. They can't get there. So it's the help they still need. This, you know, quarter and a half left to play with Portland clinging to a 7-point lead.
It's a close game.
It is.
It's a close game.
Yeah, it's certainly very, very, you know, Suns fans are very dialed into this game right now as we speak. But if the Suns were to even go 8-0, our guy Kevin Pelton was asked by Kellen Olsen to run the simulations. Okay, just forget everything else. Suns go 8-0. In his opinion, the Suns basically have a 50% chance of either being the 8th seed, the 9th seed, or just making the playoffs,
you know, but
if they just go 8-0.
But you know what the computers can tell Kevin Pelton? The heart of the team that's playing Memphis and Portland.
Are they going to want to play?
Right.
Are the Brooklyn Nets going to want to play? Are the Milwaukee Bucks? You don't know that, right? The computer simulation doesn't tell him who's Milwaukee going to sit out in that game. Who's Brooklyn going to sit out in that game? What is the motivation they have to play?
Right.
That doesn't tell you that. Here's the reality. What the Suns need more than anything is for the Mavericks to win today. If the Mavericks beat Portland right now, then they have control of their destiny. Sure, they would have to play a motivated Mavericks team on Thursday, but at least at that point, you know that if you win, it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Yeah.
You're in the play-in game.
Here's the schedule Thursday, and it's a cardiac arrest waiting to happen, man. It's Milwaukee is at Memphis at 1 o'clock. Dallas versus Phoenix, 1 o'clock. San Antonio versus Utah at 3:30. Portland versus Brooklyn at 6.
So you can win and maybe not know until what happens in that Portland game.
You can win and keep one eye on the scoreboard to see if Memphis loses to Milwaukee and know you're going to pass them. So you can.
But if Memphis wins, then you got to wait for the Portland game.
If Memphis wins, you have to wait for the Portland game. And then you become the biggest Brooklyn Nets fans that ever were.
Yeah, listen, this Dallas game is not going to be easy Thursday, with or without the guy
that.
You know, that's like I said, there is a, and I brought this up, and I understand everybody's saying, hey, it's important that if the Mavs win this game now, then, you know, you control your own destiny. That's all that matters. Okay, I agree. I don't disagree. I agree. But like I said, be careful what you wish for. If the Mavs are motivated, if the Mavs win this game and then they can catch
Utah
and avoid having to play the Clippers in the first round, they're going to play hard. Hey, guess what? You win this game against the Suns, you don't have to play Kawhi and Paul George. Really? Okay, let's play hard and beat the Suns so we don't have to play Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, the schedule when it comes to that, let me just tell everybody right now, Dallas versus Phoenix is at 1. San Antonio is at Utah at 3:30 on Thursday afternoon. So if Dallas wins this game here, they can beat the Suns knowing that if Utah loses later on Thursday, they will pass the Utah Jazz.
Right.
Now, if Utah wins,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But they'll play hard because they don't know what Utah's
going to
do.
They don't know what Utah's going to do. Now, there's another possibility here, and Devin Booker was asked about it today. Going 8-0. And yet still missing the play-in game.
That's life, man. Like you said, you know, we're controlling what we can control. That's the eight games that we play at. So, you know, I'm proud of my guys regardless. You know, we came in here with the right mindset, you know. And, you know, it could have been different. You know, people could have been frustrated. You know, coming out the middle of a four-month hiatus to straight to basketball and leaving your family. But, you know, we came in, we locked in, and made the sacrifice that we need to make. So, and I don't think there's going to be any sad faces around here, you know, whether we leave here in the playoffs or not. We've put the work in, and we've grown as a team. We've took tremendous strides that I think will build for us for continuing years to come.
It's very well said by Devin Booker. But there has to be. You know, you work so hard and then not get in, there will be some sad faces.
Sure.
But you'll go back. I mean, we'll look at the schedule, and we'll go back, and we'll be like, oh, remember when they lost to the Golden State Warriors? That was the game.
If
they would have just beat Golden State. You know, we'll go back to some of these games. If they would have beat the Pistons, how did they lose to the Pistons?
Sure.
So we'll look back at a few of those games and be like, man, if they would have won one of those games, they could have gotten in.
Some of them will just be the games against Memphis. Memphis was 3-1 against the Suns. That's the tiebreaker. You're in a tiebreaker scenario with Memphis. It comes down to your head-to-head. You're not in a tiebreaker with Portland because you've played a different number of games. That's just straight winning percentage. But the Grizzlies, the reason you can't finish tied with the Memphis Grizzlies and still get in over them is because during the regular season, they beat you 3 out of 4 times. Just pick any of those Memphis games, any of them. And you could look at that and go, ooh, if you just won one of those games, you know, if – ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day, right? I mean, as the old saying goes, I'm just looking at this Trailblazers-Dallas Mavericks box score. Damian Lillard's insane. He's got 36 points on 22 shots.
He might get the MVP.
He's 6 of 11 from the three-point line. He's balling again. Again. By the way, I just got word from our esteemed leader at 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station to please promote the fact that the Phoenix Suns Dallas Mavericks game will be on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
1 o'clock
on
start?
Thursday. That's
okay.
A 1 o'clock tip
so
time.
So we'll come on after the game.
We'll come on right after the game. Yes, and I imagine our show Thursday will in essence be a post game show.
Yeah.
For the Phoenix Suns. So again, the situation: beat Dallas and hope that Memphis loses on Thursday, or Portland loses today or on Thursday to get into that 8-9 play-in matchup. That's the situation right now. For
yeah,
the
close game. Dallas has cut it to 5. So Portland's up right now by 5 over Dallas. If the Mavs are able to win, the Suns are absolutely in a – they 100% control their destiny going into the final game.
Yep.
So that's what you should probably be rooting for.
There is a divide inside the Power 5 conferences on what is going to happen with their football seasons. Could we get the best of both worlds and have two different college football seasons this year? And does that qualify as the best? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Don't stop believing.
Dallas behind a Trey Burke three-pointer. Behind a Kristaps Porzingis three-pointer. Back-to-back Kristaps Porzingis three-pointers have taken the lead over the Portland Trailblazers, 89-86, with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Well, the one thing we do know is the Suns, you know, they're done. Their game's over. They're resting right now. These two teams are beating the hell out of each other. This is, you know, if this goes right down to the wire, it's going to be an – and remember, it's going to be a shorter turnaround for these two teams, right? I mean – not by a lot, but even a few hours.
Yes.
Because they're playing a later game. So you'll get tomorrow off, but you won't get two full days off.
Porzingis having a day. 27 points,
so
5
good.
Of 7 from the three-point line. Luka Doncic has been okay. 17 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. But he's got 4 turnovers on the day. And Damian Lillard so far has been the man for Portland. 36 points in this game. On 24 shots, 6 of 12 from the three-point line. He's got 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers in the game. Mavs, 3-point lead over the Trailblazers, but there's still 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
If I knew the Milwaukee Bucks were going to play their guys against Memphis, I might root for Dallas to lose.
Just so
if I knew Milwaukee was going to play their guys,
because you're just
yeah,
really
just
afraid
I'm worried.
Of a motivated
I'm worried
team.
About a motivated Dallas team that has something to play for.
Yeah, it's going to sound weird to say. I'm just going to have a little faith in the Suns that despite Dallas coming to the table with everything to play for, that the Suns will have more than everything to play for. Right, that the Suns will have more desire than the Mavs in that game, and more to gain in that game than the Mavs will. I think, and I know you agree. I see what you're doing, and I understand you're looking at both sides of this coin. I think we all can agree, and 90% of our audience does, is that, you know, despite a win giving Dallas something to play for and making them a tougher opponent on Thursday, a Portland loss puts the Suns in the driver's seat. They control.
Yep.
They're in charge.
Winning, you're in. Losing, you're out.
Win
and you're in, lose and you're out.
Yep. And that's and Milwaukee.
Can you believe that they had to go 8-0 to have a chance?
Can you believe? Okay,
we knew that we said 8-0 or 7-1, but they had to go 8-0 to have a chance.
Yep.
7-1 and they're not in.
I can't believe we're sitting here in your same office where we first learned about the bubble, and we learned about the Suns and their situation and the odds and how hard it would be for them to. We were wrong. We dismissed it almost immediately. Oh, forget it, man. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Look at what they have to do. They don't even get to play the teams that are in front of them.
Well, if you remember, Gambo was rooting on the Pelicans that opening game in the bubble because the Suns' odds were so terrible. He was openly rooting for the Pelicans.
Come on. Outside of Greg Esposito, who we're going to owe a dinner to, did anybody really think the Suns were going to go 8-0 in the bubble?
No way.
Of course not. Imagine if we would have thrown some money down on the Suns going 8-0 in the bubble.
Oh, some shekels.
Imagine, I'm not a gambler, but imagine.
Winning every single game. I don't know if you could have gotten odds for them to go 8-0, but you could have bet on them every single game, and I would imagine if you just let it ride. You know, take your winnings, bet them, and just let it ride. I wonder how much, if you'd even bet $10 on the Suns and just let it ride every single time they won, how much money you'd be poised to win. I don't know. But this one is coming down to the final moments of the third quarter. Dallas clinging to a 92-91 lead here, and this is exciting. Not as exciting from college football. And I don't –
I don't want anyone to misinterpret the conversation that we're about to have here. Nobody on the Burns and Gambo show is happy that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did what they did today.
No, okay? No, I'm sad. It's terrible.
It's sad. I mean, some people are angry. I'm more sad about it because I understand the Pac-12. I mean, look, it's not going to be a popular decision. People are going to argue about it. They're going to be mad about it because other conferences are pushing forward, and people will say, probably rightfully so, this is just a liability issue. That's all this is about. But the Pac-12 and the Big Ten decided they just didn't have the taste for risk that the other conferences do for now, and so they've decided to not play football in the fall. Like it or not, that's the decision they made, and we're all going to have to live with it and move on. As a football fan, though,
okay,
just look at this from a football perspective. There's a possibility now I get two college football seasons.
Could.
One in the fall, one in the spring.
If the Big 12 decides that they're going to play, then the SEC and the ACC will play. If the Big 12 decides they're not going to play, well, then the ACC is going to feel pressure not to play. And then it's the SEC decides, do we go alone or do we just go to the spring like everybody else? But there is a possibility right now that exists that you could have three major conferences playing in the fall and then two major conferences playing in the spring.
Yeah, there's also a possibility that they all go to the spring. And I understand there's nothing guaranteed about spring football at all. But I keep reading story after story that if there is no college football in the fall, the NFL will move into that empty spot on Saturday and claim it. And they've got networks that are more than ready to give them money to do it. ABC, ESPN in particular, there's a report in the New York
Post. Well, they're going to have to fill all of those.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to fill that schedule.
So NFL football on Saturday and Sunday all fall, and then a full college football slate, as full as they can give us in the spring. Again, it's okay, not the desired scenario, but if you just look at it from a football standpoint, there are some things to be at least intrigued by if you want all the football you can get spread out over a full calendar year.
The NFL is going to be by themselves.
Yeah.
Basketball is not going to start till December, and there's some belief that they could start later because that would allow them to get fans in. So they're not going to have any basketball to worry about in September, October, you know, well, maybe a little bit in September, but not a whole lot. But then, you know, for October, November, December, they might not have to worry about the NBA. And if they don't have to worry about college football,
right,
and if there's no baseball, I mean, the NFL might be on an island by themselves for a while.
You'll still have baseball through the end of October, especially if that report from Jeff Passan.
The bubble?
And I had a feeling that was coming. I had a feeling there were some hints that were dropped last week that made me wonder if baseball was looking into bubbling their postseason, and Jeff Passan reported today they are. But nevertheless, yeah.
I want to know what they're going to do with the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, how many games can they possibly play?
I don't know. And how can you possibly ask them to even get close to the vicinity of just teams?
I mean,
you're not going
yeah, to.
No, you can't. So, look, I'm not saying the football in the spring messes a whole bunch of things up. Guys are going to opt out. Guys aren't going to play. Guys who even have a whiff of being drafted are never going to play in a spring season.
No.
And for all of the health risks that you're avoiding in the fall, playing a college football season in the spring and then following it up again 5 months later in the fall, that's also a health risk.
Brutal.
So when
would your season end? And then you're gonna have camp starting in July?
You would end your season in late
May?
April-ish.
Early May?
I think was what Stuart Mandel proposed.
Then you'd have May and June off and then kick back up in July.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, for some teams that go deep, yeah, it's going to be brutal.
That's going to take a physical toll on guys' bodies.
How do you do a bowl season if there's two different seasons? If there's a fall and a spring,
another question.
I mean, how do you do a bowl season?
Another great question. How do you do a bowl season? How do you do a draft? How do you do a scouting combine?
Well, they want the college football wants the NFL to move the combine and draft to June and July.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now.
I'm sure they do.
I know somebody who was on that conference call today, and that's what they said. They'd love the NFL to just move it.
I don't know if they're going to
move the combine to June.
Yeah, I don't know.
But think about the bowl games. Like, how are you going to have a bowl game? When is the Rose Bowl going
to
be played?
There's a million questions that come from football being moved to the spring. I don't even know if they have all the answers yet. I don't even know if they, because as you said so eloquently earlier, We don't even know you can play football in the spring.
No, we don't.
John Wilner said the same thing when he was our Pac-12 expert from the San Jose Mercury News. He's like, look, there's no promise you can get anything done in the spring. Who knows?
No, and you're going to see, and you know, this is the sad part of it, you're going to see these athletic departments have to furlough employees.
Yeah.
You're going to see people get furloughed. There's no sports. There's nothing going on in the fall. Are they going to be, can they afford to pay all their employees for all these months when there's nothing going on? There's no volleyball. There's no men's soccer. There's no women's soccer. There's no cross country. There's no football. And there are other sports that leak in to the fall, like golf, right? Golf is a sport that part of that is played in the fall. I think there was another sport, too, that I wrote down that I was looking at. Tennis. Golf and tennis cross over into the fall. And, you know, you're not going to have non-conference basketball games. Bobby Hurley just lost GCU and Creighton. They were going to go on the road and play at Creighton. They were going to play San Diego State. Not going to have any of those games now. There will not be a non-conference for ASU basketball.
They're through three quarters. Portland is up by three over Dallas, 98-95. So prepare yourself for a back-and-forth fourth-quarter affair in which, by the end of it, the Suns might be in control of their own destiny, or they might still need a Portland loss on Thursday. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show on this busy, busy day, an 8-0 bubble record still doesn't guarantee the Suns anything. What does the team think about the possibility of being perfect and yet missing out? That's up. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's crossed my mind. I mean, I'm human just like everybody else. You look at the records, you look at the scenarios, you know, it's, and then once I do that too long, I get focused on the next thing that we have to do. It kind of gets me back to a better mindset, because you can play mental gymnastics with yourself, and that's not always healthy, but we're all competitors. But yeah, I've thought about a lot of scenarios.
That was Monty Williams, asked the question directly, have you thought about winning out and still not making the play-in game? Because yeah, I think about it. You know, Devin Booker.
Sure. Booker had a great comment.
Yep,
on
Devin Booker
it.
Said, absolutely. We could go 8-0 and still miss the play-in game.
That's life, man. Like you said, you know, we're controlling what we can control. That's the eight games that we play in. So, you know, I'm proud of my guys regardless. You know, we came in here with the right mindset, you know, and, you know, it could have been different. You know, people could have been frustrated, you know, coming out the middle of a four-month hiatus to straight to basketball and leaving your family, but. You know, we came in, we locked in, and made the sacrifice that we need to make. So, and I don't think there's going to be any sad faces around here, you know, whether we leave here in the playoffs or not. We've put the work in, and we've grown as a team. We've took tremendous strides that I think will build for us for continuing years to come.
I hear him say that, and I hope he's right, but how can he not be wrong? You know, I mean, of course there are going to be some sad faces if they
has
go
to be.
No, there has to be, right?
Yeah, I think, listen, I think that you'll – you know, if you lose, you know, be deflating. It'll be like, oh, you worked so hard. You came so far and you just missed out. But there's also going to be a sense of excitement about what the future may hold for this team. And that's the thing that they'll get to. They'll get to that quickly. You know, when they're all going home and they're leaving this bubble, and they've been in this bubble for a while. Remember when they, I forgot the date that they got there.
July 8th.
So July 8th. 9th. I mean, they've been in that bubble for over a month.
Ish.
And they, when they go home and they get to be with their friends and their families, and Book gets to be with the Jenner girl, they'll, to go hike mountains and stuff. You know, they'll reflect on what this was. I mean, this was, and they'll take this into next season. And everybody, you know, that covers the NBA will look at the, you know, the Suns, and they'll be a trendy pick to make the playoffs next year.
Sure. Sure. They will be. It'll be tough. It'll be a tough pill to swallow. And it will be exactly, to me, the tug and the pull will come from the pride that you'd feel from going 8-0, the pride that you'd feel in them, both as a player, a coach, and even just a fan, you know, knowing that your team didn't half-ass it in the bubble, literally did everything they could in that moment to give themselves the best shot, and how proud you would be of them, and yet at the same time, how could you not be disappointed to go 8-0 and just need that one last little thing to help you, whether it was the Blazers winning against Philly a couple of nights ago when Philly had a 6-point lead with 4.5 to go, or Dallas, they've got a 2-point lead right now with 9 minutes to go. If they don't win this game, you know, just needing that one extra little thing to help you out and not being able to get it. I don't know how that doesn't crush your soul, you know, a little bit after going 8-0.
It's like when you do something and it doesn't go your way, but your parents ask you, did you give it everything you have, Johnny? Did you try as hard as you could? Did you give it your best shot? And that the Suns will be able to say, yeah. We gave it, we won every game. I mean, who went? Nobody went 8-0 in the bubble. Nobody's did the only undefeated team in this bubble. So, you know, that's what you'll do. You look at yourself, you say, listen, we did everything that was, it was out of our control. We controlled what we could, the games we played. And if they win every single one of them, they'll be able to say, listen, that it was out of our control. We couldn't have done anything more.
And I think the one thing that changes no matter what is the narrative about Devin Booker and what kind of a player he is and what he means for the Suns. Because I think that certainly, and we've talked a lot about Draymond Green and his comments, and I don't think that idea goes away until Devin Booker leads the Suns to the playoffs in a full NBA season. But I do think the idea that Devin Booker is an empty stat guy,
you think that's gone?
I think that's gone. I think his play in the bubble has officially obliterated the notion that Devin Booker, that anybody can still hang on to the notion that Devin Booker is just an empty stat guy. I think that is gone after these 7 or 8 games.
Yeah, I'm curious to see when next season starts. Now, look, there's an entire offseason, right? I mean, there's going to be a draft lottery coming up pretty soon, right?
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to that. The Suns have a chance to get a good draft pick there. The ping pong balls go their way. But either way, I'm looking forward to the offseason because they've got cap space and they've got decisions to make. I think they're going to bring back Javon Carter and Cameron Payne. I think you've got to consider bringing back Dario Saric now if it's the right deal. You have to. Kelly Oubre, for a while there, I thought that Kelly Oubre would be traded. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'm really not so sure. So I think Baines will be gone. I think Diallo will be gone. I think Okobo will be gone. I think Ty Jerome will be gone. So there'll be new faces. But there may be not be as many new faces as once thought to be.
Yeah. Here's more Monty on the approach for Thursday's game against the Dallas Mavericks. He says, we're not going to change a thing when it comes to our approach for Thursday's game.
We're not going to change our approach. You know, that would be a mistake on our part. I think our guys have to have the same focus. And we've always, you know, tried to implement championship practices and film sessions and have a high level of focus in all that we do so we don't have to change. So I don't think there's going to be any change in our strategy. We want our guys playing free and doing what they've done. Everybody understands where we are, so I don't think there's any reason for us to change up what we do. We've been playing the same way throughout. We just obviously, you know, you got to go get it, whatever's in front of you.
Okay, so the 7-0, and I know we keep doing this over and over again, but we also understand that our audience kind of gets in and out of their cars a lot during this time of day with the commute, the drive home from work, and things like that. Dallas is beating Portland right now 106-103 with 8 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, they're pushing each other, and that's good. Like, they're pushing each other.
Very entertaining game, no doubt. This one's going to come right down to probably the final possession or two.
Going to be exhausted. Both teams are going to be exhausted when this is over.
And that's going to very much help, I think, the case. There's no doubt about it as Dallas, again, clinging to that three-point lead. The Phoenix Suns, assuming they beat Dallas on Thursday, and I know that's not an easy assumption to make.
Yeah, they lose, it's over.
If they lose, it's everything.
Nothing matters.
Nothing matters if they lose.
7-1 doesn't get it done.
It does not matter. Assuming they beat Dallas, they still need Portland to lose a game, either this one or the one Portland plays on Thursday against the Brooklyn Nets. If Portland loses this game today, 8 minutes from now, the Suns control their destiny.
And Portland does not. Memphis still controls their destiny.
Yes. Memphis is just one win away from clinching a spot in the 8-9
And they did not get that today because Boston beat them up, right?
And as you had mentioned yesterday, you had heard Boston was going to play everybody.
And play to win.
Boston played everybody today.
Yep.
To their credit. They played everybody, and they took it to Memphis. They ended up winning by 17, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't reported anywhere. We reported it. I was on the phone with somebody and checking on the situation with that game, and I was told that Boston would play all their players.
Yeah. So with that, Memphis plays again on Thursday against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Now, who have been really, you know, they've got nothing to play for this entire time in a bubble. I think they're 2-3 in the bubble. But they haven't had anything to play for. Like, there's no motivation. I mean, is it possible that they go into that game and they say, look, let's get right before the playoffs? Let's kick this team's ass and get right? Because they haven't played well. I mean, they haven't. I mean, it's a possibility. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
You know what?
They have not played well.
I'll concede that is a possibility.
They could. Let's go win this game and get right before the playoffs.
Yep, that Milwaukee, for at least a half, rolls all their starters out there and tries to get a really good, warm feeling about how they're going to play going in to the postseason. I don't know if they do it for the full game.
It's what Boston did today.
But at least for a half. Yeah, it's what Boston did today.
Yeah, Boston will sit their guys against Washington. They're not going to feel any reason to play their main guys against Washington.
Now, if the Suns pass either Memphis or Portland or both, understand that the play-in situation, if you're the 8th seed, you only have to win once. If you're the 9th seed, you have to win twice against the 8th seed.
It's not a best-of-three scenario for anybody. It's not a best-of-three.
If 8 wins once.
If you're 9, you got to win 2 games against the 8th seed.
And it'd be spread out over 2 days. Game 1 would be on Saturday morning, I believe, at 11:30. And then the second game would be on Sunday, I think at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And the Suns could still get to the 8th seed.
Oh, yeah. If Portland...
They can get to the... Portland
loses this game. And Memphis loses Thursday.
And the Suns win.
Against Milwaukee.
They're
the
8th seed.
They're the 8th seed.
Couldn't even imagine.
They're the 8th seed.
Couldn't even imagine them being the 8th seed.
Neither could I.
But I don't know what's worse, to go 8-0 and not get in, or to go 7-1 and all you had to do was win that last game and get in. Ugh. That would be probably more heartbreaking, to go 7-1. To go 8-0 and not get in, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, they won every game they play. There's nothing they could do. You lose to Dallas with a chance to get in, that will break some hearts.
Yes, absolutely. No question about that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show with a Dallas...
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Whoa. Hey, guys.
I think I know what this is about.
Yes. Are you seeing Bruce Feldman's report about the Big 12?
Drop it for us there,
yes,
Sarah, please.
I've got you. So the Big 12 presidents, per Bruce Feldman, they have decided the Big 12 will continue on with college football this season. They are expected to have a revised schedule in the works.
There we go.
One Power 5 conference confirming that they are moving forward in 2020.
All right. Okay, wow. I'm happy about that.
Wow.
I'm happy about that.
Big 12.
The ACC and the SEC will now follow. The Big 12 was the linchpin. Was it what you call it, the linchpin?
Yeah.
They would have catered this whole thing.
Yeah.
If the Big 12 said no, I think the others would have said no. If they said yes, the others are going to say yes. The Big 12 was the, you know, they were the key conference in this whole thing.
Yeah. Pete Thamel reported the same thing. The league is going to continue to pursue playing this season. The schedule will be released in the near future.
A revised schedule.
Well, you know what? We'll react to this when we come back, because I have some thoughts about, just because that's how this is on August 11th, is that how it's going to be 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now? We'll talk about that and the breaking news out of college football, and, of course, keep you updated on Dallas-Portland next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Dallas and Portland just locked into an epic battle right now. I mean, just trading shots. Making shots. 115-110. Dallas has the lead with about 5:50 to go. Damian Lillard is just
unconscious.
Putting his team on his friggin' back. Right,
Dallas
now
wins. The Suns are in control of their own destiny, but they will play a Dallas team that will be motivated to win because they'll have a reason to win.
Yeah.
So if Dallas wins the game, the Suns control their own destiny on Thursday.
Damian Lillard has 49 points on 27 shots.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Just carrying the Portland Trailblazers.
Crazy.
Carrying them. Trying so hard to get them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He knows what this game means to them.
First Trailblazer with back-to-back 50-point games in the
ever?
History of the organization. That's what that
Clyde
stat says right
never
there.
Did that?
Nope, Clyde never did
Bill
it.
Bill Walton never did that?
Uncle Cliffy never
Uncle
did
Cliff
it.
Uncle Cliff never
Cliffy
did it?
Never did it. No, apparently
wow.
not. Apparently not. That's the graphic TNT just put up, but Dallas is up 113-112. Okay, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Just because I like picking your brain on this one.
Okay.
You reacted very emphatically and energetically with the news about the Big 12. Tell me why.
Well, because, and I'll give you exactly, here's a quote from a source in the Big 12. The Big 12's medical advisors have yet to tell schools it is not safe to proceed. So nobody said it's not safe to proceed. As one source said, COVID's not going anywhere. We've got to learn to coexist with this thing in the short term. But that's, I agree with that.
Okay.
Now, listen, here's the thing, okay? I don't disagree. This is my opinion.
Sure.
COVID's here. We got to learn to coexist with it. It's here. It's not going away. Other people want to, they want to shut down the schools. They want to do it. That's, listen, I'm not going to argue with those people. You're entitled to your opinion. It's not a right or a wrong thing. I believe that they should play college football. I believe my kids should go to school. I believe that we should keep things open. It's an opinion thing. So that's what it is.
So in your opinion, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did the wrong thing today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They did the wrong thing by pulling the plug on the season?
Yes, I think that they should have played.
Okay.
Now, and just with the belief that, listen, you know, COVID-19 is here. It's not going anywhere. Continue to take every precaution necessary. Listen, two Cleveland Indian players were stupid enough to go out, and now they're in quarantine. It was like, stop being dumb. Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, if they say wear a mask, wear a mask. I've got 30 masks in my house. Okay? I'll wear a mask. I'm not afraid to wear a mask. I'll do whatever they tell me to do. But I believe that, yes, this is COVID-19 is here, and I don't want to wait for it to go away before people can, you know, do things.
Okay. I'm just – because you were very emphatic about your reaction.
Yes, I'm glad that they're playing. Glad they're playing.
I don't know. I don't feel like being a sports fan qualifies me to have an opinion about medical facts when I don't have medical facts like that in front of me. I am not a doctor. I don't think people come to me for medical advice.
They don't.
And what I think medically is the right thing for them to do.
But you read what the ACC doctor said.
But that doesn't make me by default a doctor.
No, of course not.
That doesn't. I mean,
but do you follow?
I read the ACC guy. I didn't read the Pac-12's guys. And the Pac-12 guys told him to shut down. The Big Ten guys told him to shut down.
Big 12's medical advisors have not told the schools it's not safe to proceed. They have not. So they did not say. The Big 12's medical advisors did not tell the Big 12 it's not safe to proceed.
But there are doctors who have told similar leagues in similar situations
right,
to shut down.
Who do you believe?
And that's the thing, is for me to sit here and say, I just don't feel like I'm qualified. I really believe this. I'm not qualified to be able to say, right decision, wrong decision. And I'm basing that off of one story I read on the internet today from an ACC doctor who says it's okay to play. I'm not comfortable doing that.
No, but you can have an opinion.
I'm not.
You're not comfortable with an opinion?
I'm not comfortable having an opinion whether to agree or disagree with doctors when I am not a doctor myself. I'm not comfortable saying, oh, those doctors are wrong.
Doctors in the family? Nurses in the family?
Of course I do.
So do I.
But that doesn't mean I can find 10 doctors and I'll find 10 different opinions about this. So
yeah, you probably will.
All I'm saying is, and I'm especially saying this when it comes to college athletics, I think the college conversation is so different because professional athletes are professional athletes. They're paid like professional athletes. It's their job. Being a college football player is not supposed to be a job, right?
That's why you have to give them the opportunity to opt out if they don't want to play.
It's not supposed to be a profession. And so if you want to make NFL players play, you can make NFL players play, but being collegiate athletes who are supposed to be amateur athletes. I understand. And I was sad when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did what they did today. I was sad about it. But I'm also not rejoicing the Big 12 because I don't know if they're making the right decision or not. I don't know who they're jeopardizing by making the decision they've made today. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not gonna celebrate the Pac-10, but I'm not going to celebrate the Big 12 either because it's an incredibly nuanced conversation and issue that we're having here where I don't think there is a real right or wrong, good or bad. There's just a lot of complicated decisions being made by people who are paid to make those decisions.
107 NFL players have gone on the reserve COVID-19 list so far. 80 have been activated. 27 players are still on the list. 1% of rosters league-wide. There are 18 teams in the NFL that have no players on the list. 3 players total have gone on the list in the past 3 days, with 7,500 tests done.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look at all the research. That's from NFL Research. I could look at all the numbers, all the research, and, you know, have an opinion on it. I believe I can have an opinion. I'm not an expert. Nobody should follow my advice. But my opinion is I'm looking at the NFL. Wow. 18 teams do not have a player on the COVID list. They only had 3 players test positive out of 7,500 tests in the last 3 days. And almost every player that went on the list is now off the list. Mm-hmm. So I think that they can play a college football season.
That's
I might be wrong.
That's your prerogative.
But I think that they could play a college football season.
I'm not sitting here and telling you you can't have that opinion. I'm telling you I'm not going there with you.
You don't have to. Yeah,
I'm not gonna go there. But I'm not gonna go to the other side either on this one. This is something that is beyond my grasp to say whether it is right or wrong. And so I'm not gonna pick a side and say yay Pac-10, boo Big 12, or the other way around.
I'm glad the Big 12's playing.
There's just too much at stake here. There's too much at stake here that goes beyond a 4-hour sports talk show every day. You know, I mean, there really is, but mm-hmm. I'm not begrudging you if that's.
Oh no, it's my opinion.
You want to feel about it? You want to celebrate that? Go for it. I just don't. I don't know to celebrate.
But wouldn't you have an opinion on? I mean, if your kids were still in junior high school, wouldn't you have an opinion on whether they should go to school or not?
I would,
but it would be based on what? Based on what medical information you read,
right?
What you hear.
If I were the father of a kid who was playing college football, I would probably have a much more intelligent opinion about this, because I would be far more invested in the outcome of this.
Dallas up by 1 with 4 minutes to go.
Wow.
Mavs by 1, 4 minutes left.
Wow. All right. Well, I was hoping we were going to know the end of this game by the time we signed off. We are not going to know the end of this game by the time we sign off, and that's okay. 120 to 119, we'll see what becomes of this. That is going to do it for us. I want to remind everybody on Thursday, we will carry the Suns-Mavs game at 1 o'clock here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station as the Suns go for 8-0. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone.